with with the first chiddush. Everyone knows when you write a Sefer Torah, you go to Achnosa Sefer Torah. The Rambam, all of the Rishonim that talk about the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, every person has an obligation to write their own Sefer Torah. Now, obviously, not everyone could afford to do this. Okay, very few people today, very few people, if any, actually write for themselves a Sefer Torah. And usually you hear about Sefer Torah, they're written L'Zecha Nishmas, a parent, a grandparent. Okay, so once they're writing it, L'Zecha Nishmas, a parent, their grandparents, so it's their Sefer Torah. They wrote, they mekayim the mitzvah, supposedly, V'ato kisvu l'chem es hashira hazois. And me'ikar hadin, a person should write the Sefer Torah himself. Now, most people are not talented enough to write a Sefer Torah themselves. So the best you can, the next best thing you can possibly do is to appoint an agent. When you have the Sefer Torah written, the ideal thing to do beyond the shadow of a doubt is before the Sefer even writes one letter in the Sefer Torah to contact the Sefer. You should find out who's writing the Sefer Torah for you, obviously. And then you shall appoint him, please be my agent, my shliach, to write for me a Sefer Torah. That, l'chol hadeos, is the ideal thing to do. Most of the time, it's not usually practical. Most of the time, when the person wants to write a Sefer Torah, it's already half written. And already half the Sefer Torah is probably written by that point in time. And the Sefer, they send out photocopies of their work, and you go to a middleman, and he shows you a whole collection of different samples that are available, and you select, and each sample, is a different price. That's very common. You go to a cipher, he'll show you the actual ureas, an actual urea from that cipher, or he'll show you a photocopy, give you a price, this cipher is available, and the Sefer Torah will be ready in 3 months, in 6 months, 2 months, it's already done. There are Sefer Torah that are ready to go. Then you purchase it, and then somehow you make him your agent to finish it off. Everyone agrees that l'chatchila, every private individual has a mitzvah to write their own Sefer Torah. 99.9% of the population cannot possibly do that. They don't have the skill to do that. So the next best thing is to appoint an agent to do it for you, to write it for you. If he's not able to write the whole thing for you, at least the very end, to be messiahing, the last letter. If he writes the last letter for you, then you're completing the Sefer Torah. When you complete the Sefer Torah, it's as if you wrote the entire Sefer Torah. That's not l'chatchil. L'chatchila, you should appoint the aid, the sefer, at the very, very beginning. But that's usually not possible. Fine. Here is the question. When it comes to tefillin and mezuzos, is there such a principle as well? 99.999% of the population, when they buy mezuzos for their home, they go into a store, they go into a retailer, or they know of they have a grandson in Eretz Yisrael, or they have a cousin, they know of a sefer, v'chulu, Jewish geography, and somehow you know of a sefer that you like and there's a good reputation, you buy a finished product. You go into the store, I need 10 mezuzos. Here's my credit card, and close your eyes when they swipe it. You buy a finished product. The mezuzah has been written. The mezuzah has been checked by a sefer. The mezuzah has gone through the computer, has been computer checked. And it's here, sitting here in the store, in the display case. It's ready to go. There's a price on the mezuzah. You want the mezuzah? Pay this amount of money. It's yours. You take it home. We'll wrap it up. We'll roll it up for you. Put it in. Buy a case. Go hang it up in the house. Did you ever meet the sefer? No. You trust the store that the sefer knows the halachos. He has ksav kabbalah, that he's qualified to write a mezuzah. He has a beautiful ksav. Everything is fine and good. But you never appointed this sefer to be your agent to write the mezuzah. You are purchasing a complete product. A Sefer Torah today, there's no such thing as buying a Sefer Torah that's a new Sefer Torah that's finished. There's always a few oisiyos at the end of the Sefer Torah you're going to fill in. The last lamed is supposed to be split, so it's not kosher. There's more to do. So when you buy it and then you finish it off yourself, or you appoint someone to finish it off yourself, it goes to your credit. Because I purchased something that is incomplete and I'm authorizing someone to be my agent in completing it. But that's not the way it works when it comes to a mezuzah and tefillin. People walk into the store and they buy something that is already 100% complete. They pay money, they acquire it, they take it home, and they make a bracha, l'kvoya mezuzah, and they're done. Who says that's the correct thing? Maybe just like when it comes to a Sefer Torah, l'chatchila, everyone will agree that you should l'chatchila appoint the Sefer to be your agent in writing your Sefer Torah. You should, l'chatchila, maybe we should say, you should appoint a Sefer to write for you your mezuzahs. This is my home. These are my mezuzahs. It says in the Torah, uchesavtam al mezuzahs beisech uvisharecha, you shall write. It says the word uchesavtam. You shall write upon the mezuzahs beisech uvisharecha. So how come no one does this? No one does this. How you talking? So this is a big topic. Okay, I never knew this was a topic.
Maybe when you do the Kaviyas,
no, so you're saying that there's a fundamental difference, Einochinami, and many Rishonim say exactly what you just said. There's a fundamental difference between a Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. A Sefer Torah, the mitzvah is to write the Sefer Torah. By Mezuzah, there is no mitzvah to write. Writing is a Hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to affix the Mezuzah. The brach is Likvoa Mezuzah. Doesn't say lichtoiv mezuzah. By a Sefer Torah, v'yata kisu lochem.
Make your bracha when you start writing a Sefer Torah?
No, you do not. You don't make a bracha. Good, because another question. Why, Taka? You're asking a really tough question. Why, Taka, don't you make a bracha on writing of a Sefer Torah? It's a mitzvah deraisa. You don't make a shachiyon. That for sure you don't make a shachiyon. That's a very powerful drasha. You don't make a shachiyon on the starting of the Sefer Torah either. It's a very, very tough question. Why you don't make a bracha on ksivas Sefer Torah?
You finish it, you should have definitely.
No, you don't. This, that, the halach is you don't make any bracha. That's a topic. Many drashas by Achnosas Sefer Torah. It's a very popular topic. If you go to Achnosas Sefer Torah and you stay for the meal and someone darshans, more likely than not, they're going to darshan on this topic. Why don't you make a bracha when you write a Sefer Torah? Why don't you make a Shachiyanu?
Read from the Sefer Torah at the end, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And you got an aliyah, you get the aliyah.
When by a shul on Shabbos.
No.
You make a Shachiyanu on a new suit. They'll all say there's a Shaila, you're not going to make a Shachiyanu, so on a new suit. You wear a new suit or have a new fruit, and you make a shachiyon on the new suit and the fruit, and you have kavanah that it should go for the Sefer Torah as well. Someone was wearing a new suit. I don't think halacha l'maaseh, you're not supposed to make a shachiyon on the Sefer Torah, because they say the ikar, the Sefer Torah, is not so much the writing, it's to learn what it says in the Sefer Torah. A chelik of the mitzvah of kesivas Sefer Torah is not just to write the Sefer Torah, put it in a museum. Kelim Chadashim. Okay, it's another topic. Okay, Bli Neder, when I get a chance, I'm going to ask him. Okay. No, they don't make a Shachayanu. No. They don't make a Shachayanu on a Sefer Torah.
When you put a mantle on the Sefer Torah, it's not better than a shirt.
It's not cool clothing. It's not Kelim Chadashim. It's not, you're asking a good question, I don't have a good answer, but the halach is you don't make a bracha, excuse me, on a Sefer Torah, you don't make a bracha on a new mantle. Never heard such a thing to make a shachiyon on a new mantle. Even though the new mantle cost a fortune, I was recently involved in replacing Atzei Chaim and a new mantle. It was a lot of fun. I went to a lot of stores to learn about getting really nice Atzei Chaim. Finally, I got lucky. I went to one store where they gave me a catalog. Do you believe it? I actually have the PDF on my phone if you want to see it. A catalog of Atzei Chaim. It is unbelievable what's in that catalog. A catalog like you've never seen. A 20-page catalog. Made to order. Everything is made to order. A catalog. The cheapest Atzei Chaim that must be in this catalog. At least 50. And this is just from one company. And I thought, you know, they wanted me to take care of this. They were good. They're everything, and I thought the color and wood and the style and design, silver, all man-made. Everything is man-made. Everything is man-made.
Handmade.
Whatever it's made. Everything is custom order.
One guy in Israel
does it. No, there's more than one company. I researched this, and I came across some magnificent things. Believe you, I was so disappointed when at the end of the day, the people that hired me, not hired me, asked me to help them with this. They basically wanted almost the cheapest thing possible. So after all that, I thought, you know, you would want something like really nice, really expensive. Nah. At the end of the day, they opted for something very, very, it was beautiful, very simple.
So you do hard and it snaps on.
No, it's not going to snap. They make sure it doesn't snap today.
I've seen it.
Then something is wrong. They're dealing with something that old fast, some old today. Today they're not. They're not going to let that happen today. Something, but they have. You got to see. I have a catalog on my phone somewhere. I have to find it. If you want to see the catalog, it's magnificent. And then when you get to the silver with gold trimmings, gold trimmings. And then they also in the catalog they have also a keser, and really, and then the mantle. Whoo! You want to learn about a mantle? So I could. There are some magnificent things they do today. Today, everything is the high end is leather, and they have crystals, the real stuff, not imitation crystals, real crystals, and they have fur, and they have some very, very talented designers that are involved in. And the price of these things, boy, people are making a good living from this. Price of these things is a fortune. I went to Achilas Sefer Torah not that long ago in Lakewood. I cannot believe what I saw because I had now the experience of going through this. It was the most expensive Sefer Torah you can buy, with the most expensive Atzei Chaim, silver Atzei Chaim. I recognized them from the catalog. I think they were the most expensive ones, with the most expensive mantle you can possibly buy, with a parade like you've never seen, and a suda before and after. So I said to someone there, you know, I like money. I love money. Let me make a calculation over here. And I made it for him a calculation. This event here today must cost about $250,000. He says, You're right. I said, this is crazy.
And how much that person pay for a chasen?
What? So I said, this is outrageous. So he says, where did the money? So this wasn't a private person. This was money that was raised.
Where was this, in Beverly Hills?
In Lakewood. This was not given. So I asked him, did this person pay for it? There was an obvious person that was a member of this family. So he paid for the whole thing? So he says, guess what? He didn't pay nothing. He paid nothing. I believe that he says, there's a member of the family that was very close to the Niftar, and he really went around with a Lashma, collecting, raising money.
Wow.
And he's a good fundraiser.
Is that
he's hired.
Is that a proper usage of money?
I don't think so. I'm with you. I was very surprised.
You know, there's no gvul to silver and gold.
Don't ask me, but it was a sight to see. It was the Sefer Torah. The Ksav was magnificent, beautiful Sefer Torah, and I personally, because I spent time on this, I had a lot of really. I was very impressed with the Atzei Chaim. They were magnificent, and the mantle also magnificent. Why a person was nifter? It's a young person who was nifter. And it was a very, very, very big tsar to the family. Tremendous, tremendous tsar to the family. And he has a son-in-law, a very good son-in-law, was very devoted to his father-in-law. This wasn't the son. It wasn't the brother. There's a brother that's a very wealthy person, phenomenally wealthy person. And I asked him, so he paid for this whole thing? I mean, nope. He didn't pay for nothing. Maybe they asked him to give a few. He probably gave a few, probably gave something, I'm sure, but not. No, he went collecting, and he put this together. He did everything himself. And also, by the way, I got an invitation. Invitation was a sight to see.
On loose side.
Not on loose side, but it was a beautiful invitation. beautiful, magnificent, something I've never seen before, something like this. No, they did not pick me up in a limo. I had a travel at my own expense. The truth is, it was a very big tragedy. Someone told me, for the almana, it was like she sat Shiva all over again. This whole event for her was basically... Yeah.
But if it cost half the price, she would have felt the same.
She didn't... It wasn't, what does she get from this? The right. Sevetar go. The Sevetar goes to the shul. Didn't go. It went to the shul. Right. Didn't go to her. It went to the shul. I don't think it's privately owned. I really don't think it's privately owned.
It doesn't make a difference to collect money for such a thing.
Whatever, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. Baruch Hashem, they have money. Baruch Hashem, I mean, whatever. And it was a very big tragedy. And for the family, I guess it was a chizuk. The person was regularly says, you know, everyone came. It was like the person died all over again. Okay, so whatever. It is what it is. None of my business. None of my business. Going back, when you write a Sefer Torah, you're supposed to write. You have to, ksiva. Question, when it comes to tefillin and mezuzos, we've never heard of this before. We've never heard of a person going and saying to someone, I'm making you my agent to write the mezuzah. Why not? Just like it says, the atah kisvu lochem es hashira hazois, it says, uchi savtom al mezuzos beisecha. And by tefillin, tefillin is hukash, tefillin is in the same pasuk, it's compared to mezuzah. Why don't we say there is a mitzvah to instruct the sofer to write for you? Why is it not considered a chelik of the mitzvah? So this is a very tough question, and lo and behold, in history we have records of Gedolei Yisrael who taka held that's what you should do. And they themselves were makbid to go to their sofer, to select a sofer, and instruct them, this is my mitzvah, I hereby appoint you to be my agent in writing for me tefillin and writing for me mezuzos. But this is not what's common. It's a nice midas chasidus, but this is certainly shalaika halacha, this is not a halacha. Why taka not? So one of the different answers given, one answer given is we have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it says, a woman is chayiv in mezuzah. It doesn't answer the question, but it's a very powerful observation. A woman is chayiv in mezuzah. The Gemara says beferish, leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem al ho'adama. The reward for mezuzah is to live long. Leman yirbu yimeichem. The Gemara says only men need to live. Women don't need to live. Women also need arichas yamim. So women are chayiv in mezuzah. A woman living in a woman who's alone, she's chayiv in mezuzah, bidaraisa. Nothing to talk about. Is a woman allowed to write a mezuzah? No. A woman is not permitted to write a mezuzah. That's a halakha drasha in the Gemara. The Gemara makes a drasha. We compare mezuzah to Talmud Torah. The Gemara makes a drasha. A woman is not... A woman who writes a mezuzah, it is not a kosher mezuzah. Okay, finished. It's not a kosher mezuzah. So therefore, it cannot possibly be that a chelik of the mitzvah of mezuzah is to write the mezuzah. Because if a woman is chayav in the mezuzah, equal to a man, and a woman is not allowed to write a mezuzah, obviously, the writing of the mezuzah is not a chelik. It's not a chelek of the mitzvah. Oh, but it says in the pasuk uchesav tom al mezuzos beisecha. You have to understand that to mean that it should be written for you. You shall write. Doesn't it? You have to do the write. You have to interpret that. It's difficult in what the pasuk means. Uchesav tom. It shall be written and it shall be put on the mezuzah, but not that the mitzvah is to actually write. Another mahalach is that we go backwards. Nowhere does it say that you shall write tefillin. It says that you shall tie the tefillin on your arm, and there shall be tefillin between your eyes. Nowhere does it say anywhere that you shall write tefillin. And being that tefillin and mezuzah are chukash lahadadi, they're compared to one another, just like by tefillin, the tefillin certainly it can only be a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin, not to write. The writing is only a prerequisite. It's a hechsher mitzvah. Likewise, for mezuzah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's not an actual, the writing is not the actual mitzvah. It is a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to put the mezuzah on your doorpost, as it says in the bracha. The bracha is likvoa mezuzah.
Can a woman ride a Megillah?
A bidyevit she can, I think. I think Megillah is different. I don't remember why. Not that long ago I was learning this. I don't remember why.
Can she read the Megillah in the
Yotz? A Megillah, for sure she can read the Megillah in the Yotz. That's pashut. Can she be might say men? L'chadchila not bidyevit, yes. L'chadchila not, someone learned that the chiyuv mitzvah of Mikra Megillah by a woman is not the same as it is by a man. A woman, they were part of the gezera. A man has that, but also has a special mitzvah of mikra megillah. Okay, that's a different topic of discussion. The short answer to the question is, can a woman be mitzi a man? L'chatchila, no. B'di'eved, yes. If a man has no other option but to hear a megillah read by a woman to be yotze his mitzvah, yes. He can listen to her reading and he is a yotze. Is it an ideal thing to do? Not, no, for different reasons. But b'di'eved, the pais can say, if push comes to shove, it can be done. Okay, now let's...
It's not a kol
erva for women, does it? What? So kol erva, that's one of the problems. It is, that's a problem. That is a problem. That's one of the issues. Is reading kol yahavim shulchan aruch in a woman lane Monday, Thursday? It says in shulchan aruch, yes. The only reason why a woman's not supposed to lane is it's not a kavod for the tzibur. It's not a kavod for the tzibur to allow a woman to lane for the men Monday, Thursday, on Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch says you don't do, but it's mashma that kol erva is not an issue. It's not an issue. Why not? Okay, that has to be discussed. Why not? I don't know exactly why. It's not really singing.
Yeah.
Also, you're in front of other men. It's in public. You're in front of other men. Okay, that's a different topic, not for now. Okay, now this is something very interesting. Okay, very interesting. Are you allowed to put a mezuzah as a good luck charm, a kameah? A kameah is you go to the store, you buy a nice mezuzah for a lot of money, and you put it in your car. You hang it up in your car in your rear view mirror, very good. On your rear view mirror, or you carry it with you in your pocket, you take it with you, or you keep it in your office. Okay, and whenever you go near Appledorf, you know, you make sure you carry with you a mezuzah. Are you allowed? So the answer is, it's very interesting, this answer. There's a Mishnah. You cannot ignore what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, it's a Mishnah Masechta Kehilim, and talks about a certain type of stick, if it's called a utensil or not. And it says the words are, where's the Mishnah? Talks about a stick that was meant to use to hold a mezuzah. Let me find the Mishnah. Let's see. I wrote it down here. It's a Mishnah in Masechta Kehilim. Here it is. Makel sheyesh boy beis kibul mezuzah. It's a Mishnah. A makel, perik yud zayin, Mishnah tes zayin. A kli, all the different types of utensils from a kabel tumah. There's something called a makel, a stick. Sheyesh boy beis kibul mezuzah. And according to some of the Rishonim, what does this mean? It means that people would take mezuzahs, they would put it into a stick and carry it with them as a good luck charm, a kameya, to ward off problems. I'll give you another. Now let's talk about tefillin. Tefillin. The Gemara says, Beferish Gemara Masech the Bracha said, Rabbi Yochanan Nichnas Lebeis HaKisei Im Tefillin Biyadav.
What about Shem Hashem?
So it's covered. So the Shem Hashem was not a concern. We're going where it's completely covered. The Shem Hashem is concealed. Okay, it's covered. Kiss mitach. Kiss. You put two coverings upon it. Let's put that issue can be solved. The Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan. He went to the Beis Akisa in Betfil Miyadav. Oh, and he says, "Well, since Visharunu Rabbanan," he says, "Are you allowed to go to the Beis Akisa with your tefillin?" So the Gemara has a discussion. Whole discussion of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to go do, but there are many applications where a person is allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh with his tefillin. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Oh, excellent! If there is a Hecha Timsa where you're allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh with your tefillin, I, lichatchila, want to take my tefillin with me into the Beis HaKiseh. Not necessarily he's going to wear it on his head, but I'm going to hold it in my hand because it will be for me a shmira from who knows what? Ancient times in the Beis HaKiseh was a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place today as well. It's a dangerous place. Mazikim, spiritual demons, or maybe there are ganavim. Who knows what's going on in the Beis HaKiseh? It's a sakana to be in the Beis HaKiseh. So Rabbi Yochanan took with him his tefillin. It seems he doesn't even wear it, but he took the tefillin with the Beis HaKiseh. And hoil since visharunu rabbanan ninatran. Let me take them with me into the Beis HaKiseh to guard as shmira. Rashi there explains. So let me read you Rashi. Excellent. So you're saying that the pshat in the Gemara is that he is guarding the tefillin because if he leaves it outside, someone will steal it. They'll sell it on eBay. Rabbi Yochanan's tefillin. He'll go for a lot of money. Rashi ninatran. Achnisein imi. Look what Rashi says. The yishmiruni, and the tefillin will guard me min hamazikin, from the demons in the Beis HaKiseh. Since the Rabbanan conclude, under certain conditions, you are permitted to take tefillin with you into the Beis HaKiseh. So Rabbi Yochanan says, let me take advantage. It's not just a bidyevet when you have no choice. You have no choice. Lichatchila, let me take the tefillin, the zekel, with me into the Beis HaKiseh, because if the tefillin are with me, it will protect me. What? Since when? Since when does tefillin serve as a shmira? A mezuzah is a shmira. And even a mezuzah is only a shmira when you put it on your door in the right location, kahalacha. To go hold it in your hand is a shmira. Tefillin is already two notches above. It's not even a mezuzah. It has the same parashios as the mezuzah. Two of the four are the same parashios. And you're telling me you're going to hold it in your hands, you want to take it with you into the Beis HaKiseh because it's going to be a shmira? That's exactly what it says in the Gemara. Now, let me read you what he writes over here. This is what the Mechaber over here writes. He writes something that is Pilei Ploim. I was shocked when I saw this. As far as I see over here, who is he? He's quoted. This is his own words. He doesn't have any footnote. The one who wrote the Sefer, Nosson Gottlieb, okay? He wrote these words over here in his Sefer, and it really shook me to the core when I'm reading, I'm about to read to you. And again, you don't take this seriously. This is someone, Baruch Hashem, a Talmud Chacham that's beyond belief. He wrote seven volumes of this material, which I can't even wrap my head around of what this person knows in his head and his talent in presenting it with such amazing clarity and the source that he cites. And he writes here, "Umefurish Yisoid Gadol B'Divrei HaGemara." From this piece of Gemara, Masech the Brachos Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, telling us what Rabbi Yochanan did and how Rashi learns pshat in the Gemara. This is not a drush. This is Rashi on the Gemara. We have a yisoid. Af kishein hatfillin miluvashim al hadam. Even though you're not dressed in your tefillin, you're holding it in your hands. Heim shoymrim olav lihinotzel min hamazikim kein kemia. Tefillin serve as a amulet to protect you from harm. Umotur lo, it is permitted. Le'oichzan le'tzarech shmira olav. You're allowed to hold your tefillin in. You're worried about something. The Gemara is the makar. I told you this is a heintika from the 21st century. Harav ha'goyin Rav Nosson Gottlieb. Yerushalayim. He wears the Arila of Arila Hasidim. He wears he's a member of that community. He's a member of that community. He's a goyin shebegoyinim. He writes here. These are his words. Now look what he says now. You learn from this Gemara that there's such a principle that if a person needs shmira to hold your tefillin. And then he goes on, v'nimsa l'fizeh, She'odif yoiser lechachazik hatzfilin bebayis. It would be better for a person to bring his tefillin home with him every single day, v'loy lehashiram bebeis hakneses, kidei sheyihyu lo l'shmira b'soich beisai. Now, I personally, I'm very makbid to keep my, I'm just telling you as an example, just to explain this, I'm a garnish, I personally keep my tefillin in my locker. I daven Baruch Hashem in Chaim Berlin, and I have a locker there since time immemorial, before my Sebereshis, I have my locker there, and I have my tefillin there. And I try my very best to never take my tefillin home with me, for many reasons. Number one, they're going to get ruined in the cold and the hot, and I'm going to lose them on the way home, on the way back. And number three, the most important thing is, it will force me to wake up in the morning and go daven in yeshiva. If I'm going to have the tefillin with me at home, I know, I'll go around the corner, I'll do this, I'll do that. Hey, I only got my tefillin in my locker. I only got one place I can daven. If I don't get there early enough and I walk in late, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, you come in late.
If somebody's ill, can I go out?
Okay, you don't have a choice. Okay, but okay. And every time I go to a simcha, it's always a nightmare. Oh no, I forgot to get my tefillin. Oh no, I have to go to yeshiva to get the tefillin. Fine. He says, you know, remember the old time Jews when we were children? I remember, the tzura of your parents, your grandparents coming home from shul, they're holding their tefillin in, tucked very, like a child under their arm. They didn't have in those days straps. Everyone today, you see them going home with shul, their tefillin is behind their back. The oisi, what does the pasuk say? Hishlachti acharei gevecha, me you throw behind your back. Today everyone had the tefillin bags all come with straps. You put the tefillin and they wrap it around your back, wrap it around the back. In the olden days, the tefillin bags did not have straps. And the shuls did not have lockers. And 99% of the population would take their tefillin home with them every single day. And you would see them in the street like a child. The talis bag was like tucked under their arm. They would hold it like a precious child.
Nowadays, you think they're walking home from Shachos at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with their talis. They didn't just stop in Shachos. They don't go anywhere without their talis.
Right.
Wow.
There's a whole
tired to this. So this is what he's saying over here. He's basically saying this thing over here. It's from this Gemara. He's a Hasidish. No wonder he's saying this over here. He's saying the Gemara talks to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, look at this. The rabbis have told us that you're allowed to take your tefillin under certain conditions into a Beis HaKiseh. Really? So for me, it's not a b'dieved. I lechatchila going to take my talis bag with me into the Beis HaKiseh because I want the talis bag to serve as a shemira. And then he goes on to say, so therefore, if you take this to the nth degree, don't keep your tefillin in your locker in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. Take it home with you. So it should be a shemira in your home. Oh, but I have a mezuzah. Another shemira in the house. Pile ploim. Now, Hasidim, you should know, are very into this. Today is the yard site of the Noam Elimelech. I've heard this many times that people are very into this, to have in the house a Noam Elimelech as a shemira. It only works if you learn from it, by the way. Not if you get the microfilm version of it. Okay? You learn the Noam Elimelech. And there are people that have a Noam Elimelech from the Zayde, the Elta Zayde, and it's a collector's item, and people, Gedolei Yisrael, they learn from it, and they learn from it, and they literally worship it. They worship it. And they keep it in their home as a shmira. And when a woman is giving birth, they bring it to them, and they put it near them, near their bed, and if Rachman al-Islam, someone is not well, they go and they get the gemach, to get the Noam Elimelech that was used by a gross Rebbe, a Shmira. There's something to it. And he says that tefillin are no worse, especially your own tefillin. It serves as a shmira. Now, this is a very dangerous game, of course, because Judaism is not about hocus pocus. It's about, you know, being an erelich person, and you have to know where to draw the line between viewing something, oh, I can do every aver in the book, and I have a shmira, I have a mezuzah, and that kash. Obviously, that's not the way it works. Obviously, the person has to be an erelich person, and then there's an inyan of also having an additional shmira. But there are such things where people do use different sefarim, a sefer tehillim. Some people, when they're in a matzah, they're not well, they put a sefer tehillim near their bed. Not necessarily to daven from it. It's a shmira. It's a shmira. People, and the Noam Elimelech, today's the north side of Noam Elimelech. And really, he writes over this, it applies even to tefillin. To tefillin. Now, what about a mezuzah? So why can't you say the same thing about a mezuzah? So Rabbi Sai, a mezuzah, it seems to be different. I don't know why it's different, but a mezuzah, he differentiates over here. If a mezuzah was written, here's where you have to be very careful. This is what he says over here in the name of the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Shmuel Wozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He makes it very clear, and he says, it's true, we do find in Chazal, that we find in Chazal, and we find even Gedolei Yisrael, that did use a mezuzah as an amulet, a kameya. The different Gedolei Yisrael, they kept on their desk a mezuzah. We do find, you're going to find Mekoros, go search Eitzah HaChochma, you'll find Mekoros, where Gedolei Yisrael did use mezuzahs as kameos. He suggests that's only when the mezuzah was written lichatchila to be a kameya. But if you go into a Judaica store and you purchase a mezuzah that was written by a sofer, l'shem kedushas mezuzah, l'shem kedushas mezuzah that was meant to be put on the Pesach Habayis, and you take that and you use it as a kameya, that is a disgrace. That is a zilzal in the kedusha of the mezuzah. You're being moirated from its kedusha. You're not allowed to take a mezuzah that's on your front door and now, oh, I'm going on vacation, the front door doesn't need a mezuzah, I'm not going to be home, so I might as well tie it to my neck when I go on vacation. Or even to purchase a mezuzah that was written l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah and to use it as a kameya. When we find in the Mishnah that says a makel, sheyesh bei beis kibul l'mezuzah, or we find Gedolei Yisrael that had in their possession what we call a mezuzah that was used as a kameya, an amulet, and that was where these so-called mezuzahs were written lichatchila, not l'shem kedushas mezuzah.
How many of them are written that way?
None. None. Zero are written that way today. Unless you go and you ask someone to do it for you. Unless you go and you commission a sefer, I want a kameya, please write for me. There's such a thing. There are kameyas. Okay? Reinest Eibeschitz got into trouble because of his kameyas. Okay? The World War III already happened between Rav Yaakov Emden and Reinest Eibeschitz. What was the World War III all about? Is that Rav Yaakov Emden accused Rav Yonasan Eibeschitz to being a follower of Shabsai Tzvi. How did he, Dr. Freeman showed me something, how did he discover that, how did he prove that he was a follower of Shabsai Tzvi? The alleged evidence was because Rav Yonasan Eibeschitz would write kameyas for people. And in the kameyas, there was some words or some who knows what that Rav Yaakov Emden. Dr. Friedman, I'm having trouble hearing you. Dr. Friedman is showing us online a kameya. We don't relate to this world. We live in a different world. This whole thing is extinct. But just like there were Gedolei Yisrael, there are kameyas. He's showing us that was written as a kameya. There are things on the side. Okay, just like we know that there are kameyas, there are things that were written kameyas, there are nuschois, kabbalistic nuschois, that were written amulets for protection. So, you know, you can't get a better nusach than what it says in the Torah, than writing Shema v'hoyah im Shemoya. So if you're not a Kabbalist who knows how to be mitzaref, the shemois of Hashem, to make something exotic, you want to go for the simple kameya, so I have a great kameya for you. Write a mezuzah. Just write Shema Yisrael and Vahoyim Shemaya. And maybe they would write a couple of things in the margins, which if you do that on a regular mezuzah, it makes it puzzle. But there are, if you come across what looks like a mezuzah, and on the margins are bizarre things that you've never seen before, some type of symbols or Shemos HaKadoshim, it's very likely, if it's ancient enough and was written by a Gadol, this is not a mezuzah. Because if this was a mezuzah, it would be possible. If you write anything extra on a mezuzah besides the parasha of Shema and V'chayim Shemaya, possible. Oh, so how come you'll go and you'll find some in these Judaica collections and in these art collections, you'll find mezuzahs with different shemais and other things along the side? It's very possible that these things were not written l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. They were written l'shem komeya. And not everyone was comfortable writing a Kabbalistic recipe with some nusach that no one ever heard of before. And a basic standard for a kameya was just to write Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya, and to embellish it with other shemois on the margin. So that is what we are referring to when we find when it says in the Mishnah Masechta Masechta Kelim is a makel sheyesh beis kibbul lemezuzah, not a mezuzah that was written l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. To take such a mezuzah and to tie it around your neck or to tie it around your rear view mirror or to do some other mishigas, that's a disgrace. It's a zilzel in the kedushas mezuzah, which has tashmishei kedusha. You're not allowed to do that. That's a severe prohibition. But to go write a kameya, go amongst the svardim. This is bread and butter for them. This is what they do. Not our world. This is what some of them do. They write kameyas. So there's a kameya, a simple nusach, as they write a kameya with Shema V'Hoyim Shemaya and write some other things on the side. That is what is permitted. And that is where you'll find, you can't do more than that, but don't a person dare go into a Judaica store and buy a $100 mezuzah and hang it in his car. Chas v'shalom to do such a thing like that. Okay, now what about... Let's just conclude one last thing. We're out of time over here. Oh, it's one last thing. Okay, is what about, this is a new thing that's never occurred to me. This is a fascinating insight. Is okay, old machlekes, how do you put the mezuzah on your door? Vertical or horizontal? So everyone knows it's a machlekes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi holds the mezuzah is supposed to be perfectly vertical. Straight, perfectly straight. Rabbeinu Tam holds it should be perfectly horizontal. Lie it down. What's the proof, Rabbeinu Tam? What is the proof that Rabbeinu Tam is correct? Now, by the way, this halach is not only machlekes when it comes to mezuzah. It's machlekes how do you rest a sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh? How do we put the sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh? Everyone, even Sfardim, vertical. No one puts a sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh. Horizontal, no one. The question is, why not? L'choy Rabbeinu Tam held that a Sefer Torah in the Heichal and the Mezuzah have to be perfectly horizontal, perfectly. The proof is from the Oroin, this week's Parasha, from the Oroin in the Mishkan. What was in the Oroin? The Luchos, and by the way, were the Luchos standing or vertical or horizontal? The luchos were horizontal.
They were cubes.
They
couldn't do it.
No, but this is still called the front side. The luchos were written standing.
Through and through.
And on all four sides, you know, you can get very complicated. But it's clear the luchos were put in the Aron horizontal. It was resting. And what was the munach? No one disagrees with this. What was next to the luchos, machlokes, was it inside the Aron? The shivat was also horizontal on the bottom, underneath. But what was at the side of the luchos, the machlokes, was it in the Aron itself or was it on a shelf attached? the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sefer Shal Moshe that he gave to Shevet Levi, which was the Sefer Torah that was used to check all other Sefer Torah. There was a Sefer Torah that was Munach, Beferish Gemara of Abasra, Beferish Gemara. No one disagrees. It was resting in the Aroin horizontally.
So how did they take it to check?
They didn't need it to be. They opened it up. They opened the kaparis. They took it out and they used it. They checked what it says inside to make sure other Sefer Torah are correct. There was a Sefer Torah in the Aron of the Aron in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, either inside the Aron or adjacent on a shelf on the outside, and it was resting in the Aron or on the Aron horizontally. So why should our Sefer Torah be different than the Sefer Torah that is in the Aron? Why today do we put our Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh standing up? Good, no answer to this question. We pass it like Rashi, that it should be standing. Now, what the Ramah came along and made a chiddush, tremendous chiddush, and has taken the world by storm, and it's a tribute only to the Ramah. If I'm not mistaken, this is the chiddush of the world. It wasn't so long ago, the Ramah, and he said, in order to satisfy Rabbeinu Tam, Pshara, put the mezuzah on an angle. You put the mezuzah on an angle. So that way, Frek Mefarshim, if you want to satisfy Rabbeinu Tam, so you should have two mezuzahs. Exactly. You should have one mezuzah, you have Rashi, you have Tilna of Rashi, and Tilna of Rabbeinu Tam. So you should have two mezuzahs. One mezuzah that's standing, one that's horizontal. Also, by the way, Rabbeinu Tam holds that in the Tilna itself, the Tilna is not supposed to be, the parsha not should be standing. Mm-hmm. The parsha and the Tilna should be horizontal. Not so simple how you can fit them into the tzul that way, but they're supposed to be horizontal. It's across the board. Halacha l'maaseh, the Ramah, it is the Ramah's chiddush that you should put the mezuzah on an angle. Now, all these. Okay, now, why to satisfy Rabbeinu Tam? Many achronim are very disturbed with the Ramah because if you put it on an angle, you satisfy nobody. Because if you put it at a 90-degree angle. A 90-degree angle, no, 45-degree angle, it's not standing, so you're not Yoytzei Rashi, and it's not horizontal, you're not Yoytzei Rabbeinu Tam. So what do you get out of it? Therefore, the vast majority of the Rishonim, the exceptions are Munkach, the Minchas Elazar, and Chabad. But besides Munkach and Chabad, the vast majority hold the mezuzah should be 90% standing and on a very slight angle. Just to give cover to Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you're going to give him too much cover, you're going to ruin it. The Gra holds no pshara. The Gra, you want to know a real Gra? What are they doing in the shul, in the area of the Gra shul? All the shuls. See, Chaim, they're not Chaim on his Grah. It's baloney. They're not Grah, garnish. They don't do anything like the Grah. All the mezuzahs in Chaim Berlin are on angles. The Grah holds no angle. The mezuzah has to be standing perfectly straight. You can't satisfy Rabbeinu Tam. There's nothing you can do about that. Has to be perfectly straight. Mm-hmm. So, halacha l'maisa, unless you're a member of Chabad, card-carrying member of Chabad, or a member of the Munkach dynasty, the Minhag Yisrael is the mezuzah is supposed to be mostly straight. A little bit. Sfaradim don't. Sfaradim perfectly straight.
So that's why we have
the Sfaradim are like the Gra. The Sfaradim perfectly straight. They don't go for this pshara. The man is the boss in the home. Okay, they say pshara. Mezuzah pshara, the husband and the wife. The mezuzah, the Sfaradim are perfectly straight. The Gra are perfectly straight. The only one that says it should be on 45 degrees bidiyuk is Chabad and Munkach.
Some people hold two tefillin.
They hold 45.
45. Take out a compass. 45.
How do you have a wide enough?
If you can't, you can't. Now, which way? Where's the top? So this is a very big question. We put the top, the Shema, closer to the inside of the house. There were Gedolei Yisrael that disagreed, the Pella. They put the Shema, many Gedolei Yisrael, for some reason, he cites them all, were makbet to put Shema the opposite of what we do. No, because you do this today, they're going to throw you out. They're going to throw you out of the street
from coming in. So it hits you right away.
The Shema and yeah, what's the? He's baffled. He doesn't have an answer. He has. They have evidence, and many Gedolei Yisrael were very makbid to put Shema. The angle is the opposite of what we do today. If you do that today, you're going to ruin your shidduchim. What kind of person are you? You don't know the hal. You don't know. You put the mezuzah. The Shema is closer to the inside of the house. Okay, but this is a machlok. What's fascinating is the Aroin. The Aroin. It's interesting. He takes over here. He writes something something. I heard a little last week. What about not rolling up the mezuzah? Today, you just put the mezuzah
in a frame.
Open it up. And you put it on the door, and that way you can see the whole mezuzah, and you can read it, and you can reflect upon it. So chadash, there are people now that do this. So he's very. This is not the Messiah. You don't do this. It's interesting. Because someone showed me that someone area is Rabbi Pinkas. Asked Rabbi Pinkas, is there a makar? What's the source that you mechuyev to roll it up? So he took out Shulchan Aruch and he taka showed there is a makar. There is a makar. This is the Mesoira. It's bidavka. It's not just a convenience. Oh, we roll it up. No, there is a Mesoira. The Mesoira is it must be rolled up from the back to the front. We put it on a slight angle with Hashem's name Shema closer to the bias. Tefach has some of all the halachas. All right, there's a lot more to mezuzah, but this for today is sufficient.